Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. Most in-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/HamNation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. By Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode 357, June 27th, 2018, field day wrap-up.
Hi, everybody. From Pleasant Hope, Missouri in the Ozarks, it's Bob Heil, and I have a whole bunch of really good friends with me. We're here on Ham Nation. This is a show about ham radio, and we welcome you to join in and go look at the chat room. There's lots going on over there, and we got lots of good stuff today all about field day, because field day happened this past weekend, and everybody, of course, on this show took advantage of it. I'm sure a lot of you hams watching did too. And let's go around the horn and see who we got here. First of all, George, did all this storm and lightning and so on affect any of your big transmitters, or did you escape?
I escaped on that. However, I didn't escape on doing field day from out in the woods this year. We had thunderstorms come in Friday afternoon and evening, and there was no way to set up a campsite. So we ended up doing field day from the shack here.
Oh, well, it's always fun. We'll be back to you because I know you have a bunch of things to talk about. And next, let's go see about... they let him out. He's been in court, everybody. So here he is in person, is Don Wilbanks.
Yes, not as a defendant this time. No, well, actually, never as a defendant. I've been appointed to a grand jury, which is, if you know me, is frightening in its own self. But we've had some interesting times listening to cases on the grand jury. Some of this stuff I may need brain bleach for, but it's been interesting nonetheless. We'll have a solar report from Dr. T coming up, not video, but she did give me some diagrams to show you, and we will pass that along. And we've got a bunch of good stuff on the show tonight, Bob. So back to you.
Okay, WTWW is on and off. They've had a few storm damage things. They hope to be back on by the time things get going here. So might have to take a little bit of wait to hear this on the great WTWW. And we'll talk about that a little later on in this show. And then out on the coast is the field day master, is Gordon West. Gordo, how you doing, and what all happened in your field days?
Well, Bob, we had a great field day with our emergency group called MESAC. And Bob, we did field day exactly where you were several years ago on Goat Hill. And while 6 meters and 10 meters were in bright and early on Saturday morning, of course, 11 o'clock California time, the band went, and we worked a ton of locals, though. But we had 20 and 40 and I think 75, and things were doing great. And I look forward to seeing those of you in the Bay Area, not only for PacificCon later on this fall, but for the Nevada Convention put on by Snares and the Nevada Convention Group in Reno, Nevada, July 2021 and 22. Back to you, Bob.
Okay, well, we're looking forward to getting together at some of these great shows. I'll be at Albuquerque, Huntsville, and everybody be warned that Huntsville It's going to be pretty special because Don Wilbanks, myself, Joe Eisenberg, George, if you're coming, somebody's going to have to come to hold that team. We're going to have some kind of resolution with all these Gracies that's coming.
Emmett from Radio Waves will be there as well. And I know we've done the – between Emmett from Radio Waves and the HRO crowd, we get silly at Huntsville.
Get over there on that WTWW microphone and who knows what.
Yeah, oh, it's there too.
Well, listen, let's get right into some of this field day because we have a bunch of it. And then Gordo, I think, has to leave early because he's teaching again tonight. So, Gordo, it's the podium open for you. Let's see what's happened this weekend.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Bob. And Bob, field day is a great time to try out gear that you've never really tried out, battery operated in the field. And one of the first things was something that you sent me, Bob, and this is by MacGregor Power Solutions. And it's an Anderson box. But let me tell you, this is no lightweight Anderson box. This is a almost built for the military Anderson box. So if you're looking for a good Anderson connector solution, MacGregor Power Solutions. And Bob can give you probably more information, but this is one heck of a great box that worked well. And also working well was, of course, the ICOM. We used the heck out of the 9100, but Bob's parametric receive system. So, Victor, if you don't mind, let's go to that first shot, and we'll show you our deluxe field day setup. Well, this is in the back of my 76, one owner, bought it new, station wagon. And we had the parametric unit on top of the ICOM 9100. But to the left was the BioInno 20-amp battery. What I thought I had plugged in to give it a solar charge, our problem was we had no sun. We had the June gloom in Southern California. So maybe we put in 100 milliamps, 1/10 of an amp. Yet that battery went all day and early evening without a recharge with a lot of transmit time on the ICOM 100-watt transceiver. Kevin and Bo from BioInno, those are the main two guys that run that company. Kevin was there. And that's neat when you get that kind of support. So this stuff was on the air. You can see my back of my wagon was all kneaded up just for everybody. Our field day site was accessible for those that needed wheelchair access. And Dan and Peter Coyle, these two operators, they logged so many FM contacts. They had a great time. So that's one of the neat things about field day. As you get a lot of experts, sometimes they may be wheelchair bound, but these two folks didn't slow down a bit in making hundreds of contacts on 146, 52, and 55. So they were good sports. There is Cameron in 6 CAM. And you know, you talk to kids and so on. We didn't realize that Cameron, operating the HF radio, his specialty is satellites. Not working the satellites, building them. The Irvine School District and surrounding areas had the kids building one of the little tiny CubeSats to go up maybe next year. And he's right on the front of doing programming and soldering and so on. So you never know the talent that these kids will operate. And here we are in that parametric unit from Bob. Bob, it did so well. We had a big speaker just out of the picture that you can't see. We drew a crowd when we'd worked some stations, and everybody could hear the difference when we turned up the mid signals on the audio, decreased the bass, and put a little sparkle in the high things. That is neat, especially for those of us that need an extra boost on our own hearing. But it worked out well, and it went all day long. And everybody sort of had their own feel as to how they wanted to adjust it. Here's another operator giving a little bit more bass, but it was fun. And in spite of all the RF, this unit really held its own out in the field, somewhat non-grounded, but it was just a great performer for tailoring incoming audio. Well, your field day station doesn't have to be majestic. This is Cameron and his dad, Dylan, AE6 Delta Bravo. And they had a small little power supply and a small little battery and a monster vertical antenna that Dylan sells on the internet. And look up his call sign, Alpha Echo 6 Delta Bravo. That vertical worked all the way from Connecticut to one of the final contacts, Hawaii on 20. So it was a powerhouse, yet you see the installation there was quite modest. And that's a neat thing about field days. You never know what someone's going to bring. And having two operators with one operator logging really made it nice for the field day fellow or lady on the transmitter. And I love it each time Dad or Cameron would make a contact, got a little smiling face off to the left. And notice that's on 6 meters, and we had some brief openings on 6, but they just weren't coast to coast. So sorry on the East Coast, I missed all of you, but we hope something soon will come. And here it is. That's Tamitha. Let's hear it for Tamitha. She passed her exam. Yep, Susie and I and a couple of other examiners Woo-hoo! Were here, and she was one happy lady. So congratulations, Tamitha, on your new ham radio license. So, Victor, if you'll come back here, and again, we'll say we hope everybody had a great field day. One of the best things I learned is that some of the operators of your group or your club that you've known for years, you don't realize all of the capabilities that they may have that no one knew about. And this was great on doing Anderson connectors. This was great on soldering PL259s. They were expert each in their own area. And for those that had, oh, no, I don't want to talk on the radio, they were wonderful because they went out and got us hamburgers in the afternoon. Thanks, Debbie. And Ron did a El Pollo Loco run. Thanks, Ron. And it was great. So we were well fed and we had a great time. So, Bob, I hope your field day was as exciting as ours, although the DX wasn't really there for our station on the West Coast. We have a feeling they probably worked both directions quite nicely. Bob?
Well, that was great. I really liked seeing, of course, the, as we call it, the PRAS, Parametric Receive Audio System. Glad that it performed well. And we'll have lots more as we get into production of that here in the next month. But our field day was as normal. I just run around and see some of my old friends, and I really, really got a big surprise at the end, as you'll see. So let's run the slides really quick and take you on a little trip around St. Clair County, Illinois. That's just across the river from St. Louis. It was my first club that I joined in 1956, and it's still going. And we'll run through these slides pretty fast. So here we go. You'll see different guys operating. There's a couple of the old gang that I saw years ago and some new ones I didn't know. Putting up antennas, of course, is always a big deal at field day, and they did a really nice job. They did a good job with solar as well as batteries and everything else, so that was really great. They did a great job, and we didn't do any operating, but we were there. There are a couple of very, very good old friends. Mike and Mike's been a friend of our ages and ages, and Marcel is a big 6 meter operator. And Marcel is one of the guys that sponsored me to get my PhD. Thank you very much, Marcel. So they're all members of St. Clair County. And next, this is a trailer that was built for emergencies, but look at it. It's luxurious. It's really cool. K7DZE, I think, is the guy that built this. And they had operations going from there. So that was kind of fun to see some of the work that they had done. And that's really a lot of work to do that. the inside of it had all the places to store things when they're moving, as well as when they need it. That's always important. The biggest surprise for me was what happened with the pine board. I had set it out there. Next thing I know, look what happens. A couple of just bright-eyed kids came up, and so we fired it up, and you'll see the light bulb burning there. That was really fun. So we appreciated being able to show the pine board, and that was kind of the star. Everywhere I went, I took it with me. And then we moved on to Mount Olive, Illinois, and you'll recognize KO0Z. I always get his comic stuff. Ron is the editor of the new products and of CQ Magazine. And he's been a good friend for many years, a teacher for many years, and he's taught a lot of youngsters how to get their license. So we really appreciate that. They had a nice field day, and that was a flex that W9L, is that right? I think N9L. I get his call mixed up with, and he even said that too. He gets it mixed up with with Val's. It's kind of fun. But they had a nice facility and worked a lot of stations. As I said, I didn't get involved in it. But here's what happened to me on the next run. I came across these guys that were at the field day in Hillsboro. These guys and gals, they are from Pena High School, and they're standing in front of a solar-powered car that they built, and they're going to race it from Texas to California next month. We'll talk about that a little bit as far as how you can get involved in it. This is an amazing project. Here are some of the slides from that. The kids had been building in high school, and they did all the work. Uh-oh, that's not one of them. We got them kind of messed up. The kids built this themselves. There was no outside help. They built it in the high school. And let's see if we can find the next one, Vic. There's their, they did that with a 3D printer. There they all are in some form of the frame they had built. I'm just so impressed because one of the things about it is that they had to do this all on their own. This is a national contest, and they started out by designing it and making things happen. And boy, did they make it happen! And I'm just overwhelmed at how cool these kids were. They did it all. We're talking welding and all the electronics, figuring all that out, the solar switching, and so they had their hands full, but they made it happen. And it was from the scratch that they did. Now there they were, getting some of the wiring together for the switching, and a couple of meters that went into the panel. And gears, all of this had to be made and put together by the students. And, of course, the parts came from different places. But there they are getting ready to weld some pieces onto the back. The frame's taking place. There's the steering. And the most important thing that I saw about the whole thing is that these kids did this in just a very short time, in just a few months. There's the solar panels, and they're going to run this thing from Texas to California. Won't that be something? And two of them got their ham license. Caitlin is now KD9KTG, and Lucas is KD9LAT. And there are several others. They're going to use their handy talkies to communicate. And so then they also can do a lot of things with APRS and who knows where, but we're talking about some young kids that really have their stuff together. I'm so impressed. We'll try to get them on the show. I think it would really be fun before they take off. But I want you to do everybody to do something for me, please. Go to their website. It's Pana Solar Car. It's real simple. P-A-N-A. solarcar.weebly.com. And when you go to the website, there's a place that we can send them money. They're short on some of their funds, and I think it would be great if the ham radio community would help them a little bit and take them over the top, because I personally want to see this happen. And I think that with our help, we can do that. So check it out. It's Pana Solar Car. I think if you put that in Google, it'll even come up to their page. But I'm really impressed with the kids. There's something. And these are all part of a STEM, you know, the science, technology, electronics, and math. There it is. So we've heard Carol Perry talk about STEM for a long, long time. There happens to be one of the real fine examples of what STEM can do. So I'm just thrilled to death that I got to run across those guys. And we had fun at the different field days. But, people every once in a while ask me, Heil, what keeps you cranked up so much? An old man like you, that kind of stuff right there, that keeps me going. There's just so many avenues of this hobby. And there are those young kids that they have their license and they're going to make it happen. So what can I tell you? But please go to their page and let's see if we can help them a little bit. And I'll try to get them on the show. The problem is they're so busy trying to get the finals together and, all the stuff they have to do because they leave next month. So, Don, did you do that kind of stuff when you were in high school, or were you like me, like just, kind of did every day?
I graduated 40 years ago, so there was no such thing as STEM. Obviously there was auto shop and things like that. I did 2 years of electronics at a Votech, my junior and senior year, the last 3 hours of the day. I did the first 3 hours at the high school, then I had an hour and 10-minute lunch period because that was the way the schedule was. And then across town was the vocational technical school where I took electronics the last 3 hours of the day. So that was my STEM. Plus, hanging around broadcast engineers and fooling with the CB radio stuff, that was my STEM. But man, if we'd have had that stuff 40 years ago, just imagine the brainiacs we'd have out there now. And STEM is the best thing. Tyler's robotics, that's nothing but STEM. He's gotten to travel, a couple of places all around the country with that. And just that in itself, broadening your horizons, is well worth it. But yeah, STEM is just the absolute best. So wish those guys all the luck in the world. Yeah, we definitely need to get them on the show. Well, I want to talk to you about the Olympics of Amateur Radio, and that, of course, would be the World Radio Sport Team Championship 2018 this year, happening in July in Germany. Speaking of a little bit of travel, and DX Engineering is all over that. While the world's best contesters will be vying for the top spot, operators like you can participate by working as many two-person teams as possible. And, of course, DX Engineering has everything you need to help you get in on the excitement. They're a gold sponsor of WRTC 2018, and whatever you need, they've got. For instance, if you're thinking about upgrading to an OptiBeam HF directional antenna, now's the perfect time. Exclusively available in North America at DX Engineering. They offer more than 60 HF OptiBeam Yagi and Logcell Yagi antennas in an impressive range of configuration and band coverages. Whatever you need, they've got it, including the most from the most modest to the most massive monobanders, 40 through 10 meter multibanders, and 80 meter Yagis. For stations looking for the optimal advantage, the OptiBeam antennas deliver the highest possible gain, cleanest radiation patterns, efficiency, and top-level power handling. You just can't kill these antennas. The teams competing at WRTC 2018, I didn't know this, get to choose their own radio. You can bet that there'll be several ICOM 7610s getting a serious workout, and there's good reasons why. This amazing dynamic HF and 50-meter transceiver has been built with the absolute latest technology. Features an all-mode direct sampling SDR design. Dual RF sampling receivers achieve 110 dB RMDR, enabling operators like you to pick out faint signals in the presence of stronger adjacent signals. Ray Novak brought one over here one night during Ham Nation. I got to play with it just for a few minutes. And let me tell you something, just in the little bit of time he was over here, I was hooked. It gives you superior receive and transmit performance and extremely low phase noise, and the display is amazing. It's an intuitive touchscreen, has a real-time spectrum and waterfall displays, dual watch functionality. Take it from anybody who's used it. It's amazing. It's absolutely incredible. DX Engineering also carries a selection of trusted equipment to enhance station performance from low-band systems. For instance, the low-band system's HF transmit bandpass filters help eliminate RF interference while operating multiple transceivers on a single antenna. These things were field day tested, and they just were amazing. They can be used to complement LBS's high-performance multiplexers, too. Available for 160 to 6-meter bands and 200, 500, and 1,500-watt legal limit models, low-band systems HF multiplexers allow multi-transceiver stations to share a single multi-band antenna. And DX Engineering, of course, carries diplexers, triplexers, quadplexers, and pentaplexers. Didn't even know there was such a thing. By allowing operators to connect multiple radios to a single multiband antenna, these multiplexers are a great way to save money by not having to buy extra antennas and coax cable. And think about it. We just got through with field day. You could throw one big multiband antenna up and operate four or five radios off of that one antenna. That simplifies things, doesn't it? DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. Most orders placed by 10 p.m. Eastern are shipped the same day. Proven products, expert advice, DX Engineering is helping you shrink the globe. Request your catalog or just shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But you're going to want that catalog, and you can find that at dxengineering.com/hamnation. Thank you, DX Engineering, for your support of what we do here. Time now to get into the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2121, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, June 27, 2018. We begin this week with an update on the Ducey Island D Expedition, which sets off in late October. Excitement is building, and progress is too.
The Ducey Island D Expedition team continues to gather momentum towards its operations as Victor Papa 6 Delta on October 20th through to November 3rd. The newest member of the pilot team is 15-year-old Mason Matrazzo, Kilo Mike 4, Sierra India India, who made his debut D Expedition last year at age 14 operating from Iceland. He's heading to Curaçao next month as Papa Juliet 2 stroke Kilo Mike 4, Sierra India India. The D-Expedition team has been making the rounds, attending a Dayton Hamvention and the International DX Convention in Visalia, California in the US, and Friedrichshafen in Germany to talk up the trip and meet with corporate sponsors. They also continue their fundraising to help defray personal expenses of the team members themselves. For more information about this much-awaited South Pacific D-Expedition, or to help support it, visit victorpapa6delta.com. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
In the U.S., the question pool is changing for the technician class license exam as of July 1st.
Every 3 years, the questions are changed, modified, and brought up to date by the National Conference of Volunteer Exam Coordinators. So as of July 1st, you can consider all the old license test preparation materials, like manuals, online practice tests, PowerPoint presentations, and such, to be outdated. Approximately 60 of the technician license questions were replaced. Most of the questions focus on the same concepts, but wording changes will bring the material up to date. If you are part of a volunteer exam team, you must use the new exam starting on July 1st. So VEs, be sure to change out those tests. And if you're studying with old books, be aware that some of those questions will change while the topics, for the most part, won't. If you've been studying with the old books, June 30th is your last chance to take the test before the big change. Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Finally this week, a story about radio waves that truly knows no bounds, not even inside the walls of a high-security prison.
There's something to be said for the power of radio, even if, in this case, it's not amateur radio. And even if, in this case, it's radio produced inside a remote, high-security prison. The inmates here call their service the West Kimberley Regional Prison Radio Hour, or WKRP. No, not that WKRP, the name of the radio station in that wildly popular American TV series of some years ago based in Cincinnati. This is radio programming that gives details on prison happenings. When it was launched last year, it was envisaged as a bulletin service of sorts for simple updates, but now the program is heard outside the West Australian prison's prison walls on community stations. If you've ever had Mike fried as a ham, you've something in common with the inmates here who received expert coaching from Rebecca O'Meara and encouragement from producer Brad Spring of Derby Aboriginal Media Corporation. Now the hour-long weekly show is heard through the National Indigenous Radio Service. The audience isn't a captive one, but the program's announcers are, at least until they've served their time. Hams can relate? Nope. There's nothing better than getting the word out, no matter what walls you may be behind, and knowing others really hear you. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, Graham Kemp, VK4BB, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wellbanks, AE5DW. 7-3, we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. All right, good stuff from the Newsline team this week. Let's get into the solar update. We don't have Dr. T on video, but she sent me some information, so let's get right into the solar storm and aurora five-day outlook. She says solar activity dies down a little bit this week after we hit storm levels from some fast solar wind and a stealthy solar storm. Disturbances may continue for the next few days as a remnant coronal hole passes through the Earth's strike zone and brings some sporadic fast solar wind. Auroral propagation modes may be active for short durations over the next few days. Take a look at the radiation storm outlook. The sun finally dims down this week as we return to a spotless sun. Solar flux tanks as a result, so you can expect radio propagation on Earth's day side to suck as the week wears on. She assures me that suck is a technical term known by solar physicists the world over. Unfortunately, our slip into poor radio propagation continues easily over the next week and possibly longer. No new active regions are expected to rotate into solar view anytime soon. So that's what's going on with that. Of course, you need to follow her on Twitter and Periscope. She is available on Twitter, gosh, almost all the time. Literally, it seems like 24/7. At Tamitha Scove is the Twitter page, and there you see it right there. And, of course, spaceweatherwoman.com. And, you know, we reported last week, and Gordon showed you a picture of Dr. T with her CSCE or SCSA here, her paper from passing her tech test. And KM6VCO is her current call. She's working on getting it. There she is. Look at that smile. She's working on getting her vanity call, something space weather woman related, I'm sure. So be watching for that. But anyway, there you go. There's info from Dr. T, and welcome to the family, Docs. Good to have you here. Let's get into a little bit of a video from Dan Van Evenhoven. Say that three times fast. He's got some information about Field Day.
The Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club held their Field Day event at the Valley Aero Modelers Club Field. Setup started early in the morning. The GOTA station and the VHF station got up very quickly. The sideband and the CW station took a little bit longer, using a piece of PVC pipe and a ladder for a tower, which didn't go up quite as planned. For an antenna, the CW station used an off-center fed dipole, up about 35 feet, and the sideband station used mostly tuned verticals. Shortly after field day started, the local Fox affiliate showed up to shoot some video for the evening news broadcast, which was very well done and very complimentary to amateur radio. Even with media there, it was time to get down to business. The GOTA station made some very quick contacts, as well as the VHF and UHF station. Not to be outdone, the CW station took off as well. And the sideband station made some quick contacts right at the open. Come evening, satellite passes became a mode that was available. Gary and Terry worked together and made two contacts. The thing with Field Day for the Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club is it's more of a social event. Sure, there's things that we want to accomplish, and we want to do well in the exercise, but the main thing is a social event. As we continued on, the CW station ran in shifts and ran continuously, while the sideband station had more of a rotating schedule, which suited most of the operators, even though we did have a few issues with overheating on the rig. The VHF and above kept very busy as well. Even Nate came out and did a quick little drone pass from the Valley Area Modelers Club field, home of the Fox City's Amateur Radio Club Field Day 2018. This is Dan, N9LVS, 73.
Heard it, worked it, logged it. It's time to get the transceiver that's best suited for your lifestyle. ICOM offers a variety of high-performance and innovative products. See how you can make the most out of contest season with these transceivers. The competitive edge you've been looking for, raise the bar and hear what others cannot with this flagship HF 50 MHz transceiver, the IC7851. Reciprocal mixing dynamic range, crystal clear local oscillator design, spectrum scope, dual receivers, and digital voice recorder. The IC7610 is the SDR every ham wants and just in time for contesting season. This high-performance SDR has the ability to pick out the faintest signals even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals. The new ICOM IC7610 is a direct sampling software-defined radio that will change the world's definition of a SDR transceiver. RF direct sampling, 110 RMDR, independent dual receiver, dual digicell. IC7300 is changing the way entry-level HF is designed. This high-performance innovative HF transceiver with a compact design will far exceed your expectations. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
You can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation and register to win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. And while you're there, learn how you can win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. For June, that new radio is the ID31A+. It's a great entry-level D-Star handheld, a UHF transceiver with IPX7 waterproof rating. It has the new terminal terminal mode and access point mode that enables you to make D-Star calls through the Internet, even in areas where there's no D-Star repeater accessible. DV-Fast data mode, DV and FM repeater, search function, and a lot more. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation after this and each episode of Ham Nation, and register to win. Sign up. Good luck. And don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And now to my field day stuff for this week. Don mentioned a while ago in that DX engineering spot about these bandpass filters here. This is the second year we've used these with our field day operations. We bought several of them last year. And I'm going to tell you, they really make a difference. If you've got several operators at your location, and you're all, of course, working different bands. You really can't be on the same bands. But if everybody's on a separate band, you're still going to get some splatter and descents and interference from the other guys because their antennas are just so close. You use these right here, and it's really going to reduce it. I could still tell occasionally that there was somebody else, you know, in the shack here who was transmitting, but it certainly didn't knock anyone out that I was listening to. Without these, it's a little tough, but these really do work. They're not very expensive, so I would suggest check them out before next field day. You'll be glad that you did because it really is a useful item there. For field day this year, well, we didn't get to go out to the woods like we wanted to, like we've done in the past. Once again, thunderstorms moved in on Friday afternoon and Friday night, prevented us from setting up our campsite, so we weren't able to do field day from the woods this year as we'd hoped. We'd cleaned out a great area there, a great campsite, but, you know, just couldn't do it. So we operated from the shack here again, And we set up a lot of antennas all over the yard, front yard and backyard. So our neighbors got a good eyeful of what antennas are. My next door neighbor just had to ask, you know, what is that? What are y'all doing? All these vehicles over here with antennas on them. So I explained, and they thought it was interesting. The antenna I use this year, though, it's the first time I've ever used this. It's an MFJ hex beam, and boy, let me tell you, this thing really worked well for me. This particular model covers from 40 meters all the way up to 6 meters. You can see Wayne and Tommy and I are out there starting to push it up in the air and kind of guy it off there. It worked great. Now, you notice I don't have a rotor on it. So I was not, and it's a beam, so I was not able to aim it where I wanted to. So we relied on wind power to rotate the hex beam in random direction. So I never knew exactly which direction I was pointed. But I was able to make a lot of contacts on all the bands with it. I think we worked every band except 10 meters during field day. I was able to make some several 6-meter contacts because I caught 6 meters when it opened up. We worked, well, like I say, all the bands. I worked Hawaii. I did a little CW, few contacts. And since I don't know CW, that was pretty interesting. Of course, I used a computer to do it with, and it worked. But, you know, doing CW on a computer, while it sends perfect CW, there are some little delays. It's not quite as fast as a trained CW operator would operate and, you know, switch back and forth between transmit and receive. There's just some lag there when you're doing it with a computer the way I was doing it. So I only made a few contacts, and I thought, yeah, you know, I probably need to stop that because I may be delaying somebody else. So anyway, that worked out great. Didn't get to work any PSK-31. I wanted to, but just didn't work out. I saw some signals there, but it was difficult copying them. I got a couple of people here, though, that had a great field day experience, just like we did. Two guys here did their first field day ever. Now, the first one is Joe Greco, KD2PPY, and he said, hello, George. My name is Joe. I'm 13 years old, turning 14 in August. He was licensed in May this year. He's never participated in a field day before, and he didn't have any plans to do so. And he had only done Kids Day once before in 2015 with his Pop W3 TTW. And that's the only contest he's ever been part of. Well, a few days before field day, he decided that he was going to do it this year. He got on the air and, apparently he liked it. He made 200 contacts by the end of the day. He had a great time. Everybody was trying to work him. He really stayed busy operating from home there in New Jersey. He said it was a blast. He can't wait to get more into contesting. So, Joe, congratulations on your first real field day there. 200 contacts, single operator, first year. I would say you did excellent. If you remember last week, I read an email from Robert Austin, KE0OHH. He's a retired television broadcast engineer. And he was telling us about, he got licensed not too long ago, but he had never transmitted yet. And he was looking forward to field day, and he was going to do his first transmitting ever. So he found a field day site, and I spoke with him this week. He put a little video together for us here of his first field day experience. So let's take a look at that.
Hello. My name is Robert Austin. I live in Mineral County, Colorado. I am a recently licensed amateur extra, Kilo Echo Zero, Oscar Hotel, and the amateur radio service. I am headed to my first ARRL field day
with the Western Colorado Amateur Radio Club in Grand Junction, Colorado. We are meeting in the Dominguez Escalante National Conservation Area. I am driving 5 hours to get there. Currently, Western Colorado is very dry and fire conditions are hazardous, so no open fires. I arrived about 10:30 at night and everybody was tucked in. A beautiful sunrise the next morning began a beautiful day. Dr. T has forecast excellent conditions for propagation. Before long, people were stirring around with coffee and the day began. At this point, I had never transmitted as a licensed ham. A member was good enough to work with me, and I made contact on my Aylance HD1 GPS from about 80 feet on Simplex. I had been having trouble programming it, but now confirmed it worked. Tents and tables were up, but now it was time to put up antennas. First went up a fiberglass mast. It was a group effort. Guy lines were added, and for this we used baling twine. It is cheap, light, strong, and easy to work with. There is also a line passed through a carabiner at the top, used to raise a three-element antenna attached at the feed point. Once up, the elements are spread apart with about 3 feet between elements on each side. Again, more twine. The guys and lines to the elements are secured at either trees or rebar stakes. The elements are lined up north and south, and the guys are spaced 120 degrees apart. A member provided a neat cardboard cutout with a hole and slit that was marked for 120 degree spacing. The slit allows the guide to slide around the mast and show proper guy alignment. He also had another that was marked with vertical, topped with 90 and 120 degree angles that helped with element positioning. Once that was done, the feed line was fed to the tent and ready for radio to be connected. Another short mast was stood up for a single element 40 meter antenna. Then I helped loft an inverted V with another member using a fishing rod and tag line. I had been putting lures in trees for years, and that skill finally paid off. I used 2 half-inch hex nuts on the end of the line, cast it over a ponderosa pine limb, and got lucky the first time. The nuts were removed, and we attached a lime green paracord. To make life easier, electrical tape was wrapped around the knot on the paracord to form a sharp cone ending on the fishing line. The knot had been catching on branches, but now with a little coaxing, it passed easily. The feed point was raised, paracord tied to a small tree, and elements spread and staked. I brought with me a magnetic loop antenna, put it on top of my car, and tuned it for 7.250 megahertz. It tunes very narrow, but my SWR meter showed 1:1. I brought my ICOM 7300, set it up in my trailer, and tested it for receive. Later that evening, I took my transceiver to the tents and connected it to the 40-meter vertical. Now it was time for my first HF contact. It took a while, but with encouragement from behind, I finally made contact with Kilo W6 Mike in Oregon. I told him that was my first HF contact, and he was absolutely giddy in support of what he'd helped me do. Sunday continued to be an eye-opener for me as far as contesting. The club operated under Whiskey Zero Romeo Romeo Zulu callsign and 8 Delta Colorado designator. Radios were operated by a number of people I am proud to call friends. At one point, the club president handed out commemorative cups for the event. A class move. This is a good group of people, knowledgeable on many aspects of amateur radio, and responsive to questions. Finally, it came time to close down and go home. This was an enjoyable experience for me, one I hope to repeat. The drive home allowed me to see the beauty I had missed driving in during darkness. I had no idea that canyon was there and had driven by it several times. Thank you for your time. I hope you enjoyed my story. 73, Kilo Echo Zero, Oscar Hotel, Hotel.
73, Robert. Great story there, and glad you were able to get on the air, and it sounds like you found some excellent Elmers there, and that's what it's all about, you know, is helping other folks come along, get into the hobby. You know, he had many years in television, but he was new to ham radio, and things just, you know, a little bit different. Everything, it's still RF, you know, but, you know, the way hams do things are a little bit different under, especially under different conditions, like all the outdoor work they were doing there. So glad you had a great time there. I got just a couple of quick tips I want to show. You know, after you've done field day, you got to tear down all your gear and put it up. And it really helps if you take your time, tear it down, and store it away correctly. So next time you need it, you don't have just a big mess trying to, you know, get all your cables untangled and everything back out and ready to go up again. So we're going to do a quick tip here. This one came from, well, Don Wilbanks, but we'll show it anyway. The proper way to roll up coax, and I hope you can see this. First, you just make one loop around, just like you would normally think you would. Instead of going another loop around just like that, give it a little twist. Yeah, that really didn't work, did it? Maybe I should get Don to do this. Give it a little twist. I can't do it now that we're on camera. Well, so much for that idea.
Well, an awesome try, George. That works really good for microphone cables, too.
Yeah, I can actually do it. It's just hard for me to do it when it.
Well,
when
yeah, it's pointed you're sitting there with a microphone in front of you. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you do it just right, with the alternating loops, where you it will actually, if you hold on to one end of the one connector end, you can just sling that whole watt out, and it'll go straight out with no loops, no kinks, no tangles. Exactly. It's amazing. And that's the best way to do microphone cables, and coax. So there you go.
So
and extension cords.
Once you've got it wound up, doing the alternating loops, like Don said, practice with it a little bit. You know, and depending on how stiff the cable is, you might actually have to twist your bundle around to get the alternate loop going in the right way. Once you've done that, though, you need to tie it up so it doesn't come loose on you. Here's a trick I learned a long time ago. That you can even use this for tying your shoes, and it really works. You got a piece of string here. You want to tie your cable up to keep it from coming loose. Instead of just wrapping around once and say, tying a shoe knot in it, well, wrap it around there twice. All right. And we're going to tie a knot sort of like you would tie on your shoes, but you make two little loops right there. There's one for that end of the cable, one for the other end of the cable. Hold them up beside each other, like rabbit ears. Okay. Mm-hmm. Loop one over the top of the other one, and now you could just pull it tight right there, and you would have a knot like you would tie your shoe with. Don't do that though. Loop it over one more time so you've twisted it around there twice. And this is hard to show as well. But once you've done that, go ahead, straighten your loops, pull your loops back out there. You know, this was a lot easier to do in practice.
but you look good doing it.
Yeah, loop it around there twice like that. Pull your loops tight. And it looks just like, you know, the knot you would use to tie your shoes with. And you can actually tie your shoes this way, too. But the thing that's good about it is it doesn't come loose. It stays tight. And when you're ready to use your cable again, you can just grab the ends just like, you know, you had tied your shoes. And you want to untie them, it comes right loose. But by making those loops and looping around there twice, it gives it a good firm grip. And it's a good way to keep your cables together.
Nice tip.
And that's all I got to say about that. But I do have stuff to give away. You know, last week I had asked a question about you know, I want to know your field day story. I was looking for the most entertaining field day story that I could find, and it came from our friend, actually, Andy Anderson, KP4AAN. You know, he recently moved to Puerto Rico. He said this field day was quite a bit different for him. He operated Slash MM, which is mobile time Merrill, mobile.
Yeah.
Maritime mobile.
That too.
Yeah. That too. He operated all around the island there. He said he could hear up and down the East Coast and many from Texas and Louisiana. But by having the Slash MM suffix on his call sign, he started causing pileups from folks from Europe and Africa. So he really didn't get to do much field day for the pileups that he caused. He worked stations on the other continents there. And he said next time he won't be running Slash MM. So, Andy, yeah, that sounds like that was a lot of fun. And unexpected consequences there, too. Well, you know, if you can't work field day, I guess working DX would be the next best thing. We're going to send you this MFJ Guardian Angel Surge Suppressor, MFJ 270. Put it on your coax because I know that they have storms in Puerto Rico, too. And lightning can certainly get in and wreak havoc on your rig. This deal right here, it's, you know, it uses a gas suppressor tube in here. Of course, you tie ground to it. And it really does help drain static off of your coax and into the ground. So highly recommended. Next week, I've got another question here. You know, I showed you this box a minute ago. We were talking about these, Don. This is a bandpass filter. This particular one for the 20-meter band, 14 megahertz. It's got a coax connector on either end. How do you install this? Well, you, of course, you screw coax into it. But let's say you're using a tuner. Where do you put this filter? Is it between the radio and the tuner or between the tuner and the antenna?
Ooh.
If you know the answer to that, yeah, good question, isn't it? And it makes a difference. If you know the answer to that, send your answer to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com. And you might win a copy of Gary Drash's Ham Radio is Live and Well. You know, we talked a little bit about this a few weeks ago. Gary had been out of amateur radio for a number of years, and he got back into it and was surprised to find out that it was still alive and well, going strong, and there were a lot of new things and activities that he could do now. So Gary talks all about that in his great book. So we'll be sending that to someone. Just tell me, how do you wire that up? Does it go between the rig and the tuner or the tuner and the antenna? And Don, I think we've got financial issues we need to discuss, don't we?
Well, are we talking my personal financial issues or
no.
Let's not even get into that. I bet you could find the answer to that question right here in this particular publication. And Andy Anderson, he of Mobile Time Merrow fame, another claim to fame is he's the official purveyor of Hawaiian shirts to the Newsline, Newsline and the Ham Nation crew. So he's Andy tightened us up with the Hawaiian shirt. So good guy, Andy. Very good. Now let's talk about Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. One thing about putting antennas up, you're probably going to need a little piece of real estate to put those things up. That's where Rocket Mortgage has the ham radio tie-in. See, it's all one hand washes the other. The mortgage experience wasn't keeping up with the times. It was dated. It needed a client-focused technological revolution, and that is exactly why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage, and they have done that. They've accomplished the impossible. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing the home that you have. It's simple, allows you to fully understand all the details and be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you, which is vital. It's convenient. They have trusted partners that allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage literally at the touch of a button. It's very powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds. And based on your income, assets, and credit, Rocket Mortgage can analyze all of the home loan options for which you qualify and find the one that is just right for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030. They're good folks over there. And if you need a mortgage, I highly recommend them. And if you have chat room questions, we highly recommend that you speak to our girl, Amanda.
Hi. Yes.
Hi there.
I do have some
speak
questions.
Speak to us, Amanda.
Well, first of all, so I don't want to troll George 2 weeks in a row, but I'm going to.
Oh, why not?
Oh, come on. Let's do it. Someone in the chat room said, I think they said, seriously, George, Velcro. Tie that stuff up with some Velcro straps.
Yeah, that'll work.
Well, you could. But, you know, I was teaching you how to tie your shoes, too. And you can't really do that with Velcro these days.
Some folks need help with that.
I'm not sure if you're insulting our viewers or...
No.
Okay.
Oh, well.
No.
How can you
insult
a troll?
Only the mobile time mirror ones.
George, I have a PS on that for you.
Yeah.
Years ago, back in... Oh, man, it would have been 74, 75. I wrote this book, which became the Bible. It really did for the beginning arena sound guys. And I would go around the country teaching workshops. And one of the things that caught on was Bob Heil's School of Winding Mic Cables. And it just irritates the bejesus out of me when I see somebody elbow wrap something or get it all tangled up because it's so simple. Here's the key, everybody. Watch this hand. Like the magician says, if you pay attention to the wire, when it was made, it was hot. All wire is hot, and it gets put on a reel. Look what's happening. Give this a slight twist. Down here, watch what happens. It coils right back the way it got cooled, really. Come down again, give it a little twist, and it just falls in place. It absolutely does. You'll feel it when it falls. It finds its own little niche right there. It's so simple. And I don't care what it is. It can be coax or whatever. And I guess I'm one of the bad guys. This is what we use. These guys right here, Velcro, to tie up our microphone cables. But I have been known to fire roadies because they ruined mic cables. Because mic cables cost a lot of money. We had our own cable made. It was a very special cable, as we do for this industry. And if I caught one of those guys elbow wrapping it, what that does, if you don't wrap it like I just showed you, you will destroy the shield in time, and you'll go out to do a show or hook up an antenna, and it doesn't work. And then you find out, well, you don't really know, but you've destroyed the shield. And that's Bob Heil School of Cable Wrapping. And I'm serious. They used to take me on tour with that, and plus a lot of other things. But just thought I'd put it. It's a great, great subject. I'm glad you brought it up, George, because so many people destroy wire from not wrapping it properly. So thanks a lot, Mr. George. Okay, there you go, Amanda. Thanks for letting me kind of crash in here.
Absolutely. And this will make you cringe too, I think. Somebody said, I just wrap it with electrical tape.
No. That's better all than right. Duct tape, I guess.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
The next question, sticky. Bob, you answered this in the chat room, but I would like to discuss this because so many people took their Heil microphones out on field day and maybe they were outdoors and they got a lot of debris and stuff in them and the screens are dirty. But I saw you kind of like, don't use anything liquid in your microphones to clean them. Best thing to clean out your screens on the Heil mics.
One of these guys right here. And just be very careful, but brush it, and hopefully you don't have any water in it. You don't want to get any water into here, but you can
brush it with a toothbrush. I would admit that I wouldn't use this tomorrow morning for brushing your teeth, but I keep one, as you saw, back here in the tool jar, because I use it for keyboards and a lot of other things too. But that works really good. And the best thing to use on them are I use the wipes that you can get with just various ones of them, but get some of the some of the ones that have some kind of a cleaner in them. That works really good to clean off. Yeah, that'll work. Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that. And the next question, George, I'll send that to you after you find your Velcro. Is there a problem with sending too much power to an antenna? What can happen if you send too much power to an antenna that was not made for it?
Well, you can cause something to arc on it. You can burn up your coax. You can maybe destroy some connectors. You could even damage your radio if the power didn't fold back on it. So, only send the power that it's rated for. Don't exceed that, because there's a reason they gave it a lower power rating.
There you go. Don't let that happen to you, folks. Otherwise, we'll see you in the letting the smoke out section. Okay, one quick announcement here, and this one's really, really sweet. KC0 in UK wants us to know that his wife and him are celebrating their 10th anniversary tomorrow.
Ooh, nice.
And for that anniversary gift, Jennifer got her tech ticket. So her new line is KE0SJA. So congratulations, Jennifer. Yeah. Welcome to the family. And I think that you're going to have a ton of fun. That's so sweet.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Really. All right. I just have a few announcements here. We have all of our normal nets. We have 40 meters on 7192. We have 20 meters on 14268. And we have our other nets. Let's see. EchoLink, do drop in. TAC 311 for the DMR net. And let's not forget the D-Star net. And that's on 14 Charlie. So have fun with those. I hope you get to join in. I don't even have I can't check in on HF because we're still torn down from field day, so maybe I can grab a handheld and check into the others. But thanks, Net Controls, for everything that you do, and I'm glad that you're home. And I talked to Kevin today, and he said that he had some problems at field day. And I'm sorry. Delta wanted to say hi, too. Anyhow, yeah, if you've got your systems back up and running, check in. If not, we understand. All right, that's all I have. Oh, wait, I'll talk about the fire. I'm sorry. It's now 1,200 acres, 400 homes evacuated, and a Type 2 team is coming in tomorrow to take over. It's pretty serious. It's close to some homes, so we hope that the wind changes and it goes the other way. And I hope that I don't have to be on it. That's all I know. Who's closing it up? Bob?
Hey, you know what else works for cleaning antennas? I mean, cleaning microphones. This right here.
Yep.
Works for me anyway. Yeah.
Well, because you're full of it all the time, Don.
Hot air? Yeah.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
Don, finish it up. You really want to do it. That's foam inside here. Pull it out.
Hey, I've already done that. I just didn't want to show it. It's a family show. I didn't want to show you pulling the foam out because it's a family show, but I've already done that. And that's why you can see it. Yeah. Yeah, you can wash it. That's true. And then you just poke it right back in there and make sure that it's seated under there and screw it right back on. There you go.
I just saw this go flash by. Somebody said they were about to spray dioxin on their microphone.
No. Dry toothbrush. If it's a metal screen, you can unscrew just a little air, preferably dry air, not, you know, slobbery air, but just blow some air through it. That's all you need.
Really, you just have to be careful that you don't put too much air on diaphragm.
Yes, no air on the diaphragm. That's why I say take the screen off if you can. And most of these just unscrew. I mean, it's something like this PR-40. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more difficult, but this guy here, it just threads right off, and then you can blow a little dry compressed air. You didn't even really have to take the foam out. Just a little gentle dry compressed air after you hit it with the dry toothbrush to loosen it up, the mechanical bond, and then you can just kind of blow it right out and put it right back on there. Right. And then when you get done, you can take it and you can, you know, you can bless your equipment.
Yeah. right. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. But I don't see any big reason to get major in cleaning your microphones. But oh well.
You should see the microphones at radio stations. Oh my God, they're horrible.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you catch folks spraying them with Lysol. That's
that's nasty too. Yeah, no,
but the Lysol wipes work. Those kind of wipes, they do. They work.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, lots of information for everybody. I'm glad each of you had fun at Field Day. You should go sometime. Just if you go, like me, I don't operate usually. I go for the social events. It's really fun to go, and every one of them have really good food. We didn't talk about food. We could probably do that next week. Talk about food at Field Day. Well, listen, it's been fun. In the meantime, you have any questions, well, email us. We all have, I think, the ARRL.net, our call and that, to send us emails. Give us a phone call and see what we can do to help you. But tune in here every Wednesday night. That's where it really happens. So thanks very much. Thanks for everybody to be here. Thanks for the host to be here. And we'll be back here next week, same time, on good old Twit Network. Thank you, Leo Laporte. Thank you, Victor, and all behind. I think I think you were loaded with your engineers tonight. I do think you had a lot of help back there, huh? Well, anyway, have fun. So, 7-3, everybody. This is K9EID. Bye-bye for now.
Bye, and happy Independence Day, everyone.